Like to begin speaking of it, one of my favorite parshas to shmooze about is so many pieces here to discuss that you could really discuss. But I want to just highlight two. One of them will be based on what we talked about today and share a little bit, which is the idea that when you learn something that you knew all your life, and you kind of take a step back and think about it again, it could really be like, whoa, how did I miss that? And the reason why you missed it is when you first thought about it, you thought about it as a little kid, because you heard about it when you were in second grade. Whenever you hear it, you're like, oh, another Medrash, and you go on. But to think about it for a minute might really change around the perspective that we have. I was talking about the shot I try to give over almost every year, because when I heard it by accident a number of years ago. I was in the Five Towns. Well, actually, I was in Far Rockaway, not the Five Towns. It's the step sibling of the Five Towns. It was in the White Shul, which is Far Rockaway or not? White Shul, Five Towns?
No, it's Far
Things Far Rockaway. I think White Shul, Far Rockaway. Anyways. So Rav Pelkovitz was giving a sicha between Mincha Ma'ariv on a weekday. And he said over the following shot in this week's parsha. And every time I see it, I'm like, I have to share it with my Talmidim. So that's you. When Yaakov was in the middle of his dream, we were speaking to Jacob earlier today. Jacob was with Jason about Yaakov and speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yaakov wakes up from his dream. He wakes up from his sleep. And he says, Achein, Yish Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. Achein, we actually added in the either the Gemara or maybe the Bach, is the word Achein in it. Someone was about to say in our shir. It means either therefore or indeed, but it's really like it's out of nowhere. Achein, it's the beginning of a sentence. Like that doesn't. It's no conversation. It's like me saying, indeed, how was your morning today? Like if we had a conversation, I said indeed to what you said, that would make a lot of sense. But he woke up and he's like, indeed, Achein, or therefore, like that doesn't seem to make much sense. Indeed, Hashem was in this place. V'anochi lo yadati. Again, you wanted to say, Yesh Hashem, but why Achein? It seems to be a little bit of an out-of-place beginning part of a sentence. So, Rav Pelkovitz, I don't know if it's his own idea or not, but it's a beautiful idea. He said that we know, we're told, that the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu had on it four images. There were four images of the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's, if you look in Yechezkel, where it discusses like the chariot, it discusses seeing the Kisei of Hashem, and said there are four faces on the Kisei of Hashem. Four things that you see on it. There's the Aryeh, there's a lion. There are the Kruvim, which means like the cherubs, these sculpture that was these baby-like angels on the armor as well, Kruvim. There was a Nesher, which is like an eagle. And there was Yaakov. Yaakov's face was on it. So here we have the following scenario. Yaakov comes up to Shemayim. He doesn't realize. He goes to sleep, and he sees the God of Baruch Hu. Goes to the ladder. And he comes into contact with the Kisei HaKavod, the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. And he sees these four pictures on the Kisei. Achein stands for Aryeh, Kruvim, Nesher. Achein, those three things I knew, I heard of. I knew that there would be those three things in this place. Anochi, but that I would be there? I had no idea. I had no clue. Had I known, Sir Pelkovitz, I never would have taken a nap. If I knew that one day, my face were already, but who I would become one day, my face would belong on the Kisei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would never have taken a nap. That's what everybody's saying. I didn't know that I was supposed to be there also, but I would have known. How could I take a shmuf at a Makom Kadosh like that? That's how Chazal explained it. The makom of the mikdash in the future, I would never take a sleep here. It's so holy. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right on top of this area, I would never sleep like that. But according to Pelkovitz, it means something differently. If I knew that my face would belong on the Kisei HaKavod, I would never nap. I can't afford to nap. If I knew I would be the greatest person, one of the greatest people ever live, I can't just chill. I can't take a break like that. That idea is an idea that's very easy for us to talk about because that's not us. That's Yaakov, obviously. So I can nap, and I can chill, and I can relax. I want to share with you pshat. This is my pshat. And it's to relook at one of the things that we know, we're so famous, we know about this already. But to understand a little bit more about what exactly happened. And this, I think, is how someone becomes great. How someone gets his face in the Hall of Fame is if you take this perspective and you take it very seriously. We know that Leah, we spoke about this before, Leah was very emotional over the fact that she would one day have to marry Esav. And we know the Gemara of Asher describes, and something you should realize, it's different than the Rashi describes. Rashi describes that her eyes were very soft. I mentioned this to, again, Hillel yesterday in JEC, is that Rashi describes her eyes were very soft because she cried a ton. She cried because she realized she was going to marry Esav, the monster. And she couldn't bear to imagine how I'm going to live my life with this person. She cried. It was a beautiful idea, so you realize, a beautiful idea. It says that all the Imaos were barren. It says that the Chazal created all the Imaos barren. Is that true? Was Leah actually barren? She was quite fertile. She had four kids, back to back to back to back, pretty quickly. Her beautiful kids the other day, right? Yehuda, fourth child she has right away before anyone has any kids. No other one of Yaakov's wives had any children. She had four right away. How was she barren? So the pasuk says she was barren. How do we know? It says in the pasuk. Hashem saw that the Leah was hated, or I should say less loved than Rachel was. He opened her womb up. What does that mean, he opened her womb up? It means that she wasn't open yet. She was barren. She wasn't supposed to have kids right away. So how come Hashem didn't make her realize she was barren? Why make her barren, but never to be realized that she's barren? So the Gemara in Chulin brings down that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yimel's barren, it's because Hashem loves tefillah. Hashem wants their davening. But you know what happened? Leah already davened. She'd been crying her eyes out. Literally, her eyelashes fell out from crying. Her eyes were very weak. She'd been davening for so long. Not for that, but for other things. Hashem wants tefillah. So things happen in our lives that demand tefillah. But imagine this. If you would daven in advance for anything happens to has to happen, it doesn't have to happen. Someone's going through a trial because Hashem wants to get close to you. Just daven before it even happens. If you always say Tehillim to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you daven, who wants to get sick to daven and say Tehillim for? I'm already saying Tehillim. I'm already davening. The point of sometimes we have misfortune or challenge is because Hashem wants you to come back and reach out to Him. But I'm already reaching out. So Leah was born barren. But she never realized her barrenness because Kadosh Baruch Hu gave her what she wanted right away because she'd been crying for years. She'd been davening for years for things. Brings me to my next question. We know in the end, Leah's tefillos are answered, and she marries Yaakov. And we all know the famous, famous Rashi, right? It says, in the morning, Vatihi Leah. Vatihi means surprise. Surprise, it was Leah. One second, I don't understand, how is Yaakov surprised? Did he not realize that Lavan was a tricky guy? Did he not speak to Rachel about creating some sort of a game plan? He certainly did. So how can it be? And surprise, surprise, he's tricked. How could that happen? So what do we say? What's the answer? Who remembers the answer from Rashi? Yeah, Ellie, what do you say?
They had signs of Rachel gave them signs of
Rachel. Excellent. Ellie, Aaron, very good. That, you know, one of these things over here, right, whatever it is, he slides to third base, and it also means that I am Rachel, you should marry me and not my sister. So what went wrong? What happened? So imagine the wedding night, right? Lavan's doing this swap. And here is Leah in her beautiful white wedding gown, getting her makeup done with a very thick veil, obviously, so that Yaakov can't see what it is. And Rachel's imagining the busha that's about to take place. Because Yaakov's going to be waiting to actually give her the ring, whatever it was that they used back then, to marry each other. And Leah does not know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that it's going to be a mistake, and Yaakov's going to call, and it's going to be the biggest embarrassment. So what does Rachel do? She says, you know what? I'm going to tell you the signs. And sure enough, Rachel gives whatever sign it was to Leah, and Leah pulls off this stunt. Famous Rashi, we all know this Rashi, right? You heard this Rashi when you were a kid. Did you ever think, because I only thought about this about 10 years ago, did you ever think for a second that when Rachel did that, she must have realized that she would be left with Esav? Do the math. There's two children, right? That's what everyone was saying. That's why Leah was crying. There's two children. Leah and Rachel are the two children to Lavan. And there's two children to Rivka. And they were going to marry each other. The Gadol, the Gadol, Uktan, the Katan. And if you swap orders, there's only one left. Do you think Rachel realized, by giving over Esav, giving Yaakov to Leah, not only was she saving her sister embarrassment, But she was then going to have to seal her fate and be with the monster that her sister had been crying about for so many years. Do you ever think about that? Do you think she thought about that? She must have. That's the equation. There's only possible explanations. One left only. And I even have a proof that she thought about it. I have a proof. From Yaakov Shvecki's song, Mama Rachel. If I can even prove like that. Yeah. What's that? Abe Rottenberg wrote it, but Shvecki sang it, right? You're right, I should give credit where credit's due. Fair. Fair. It says, again, I don't know the words by heart right now, and I'm not going to sing it for sure, because whoever's listening over here will have to pass out probably, because of my beautiful voice. Lashon Saginar is a euphemism. It says, yet her sister's shame, not her shattered dreams, took hold of her heart and her senses. Her sister's shame, and not her shattered dreams. Because now, the Ish Tam Yoshevo Alim that you thought you were going to get, you now get an Ish Ra, molesting Abriot. Her dreams were shattered. How could she do this? It's mamash suicide. She basically had religious suicide. What gave her the right to do that? So, here's what I want to share with you. I think if you think about this point, this should help you become someone should be a Hall of Famer one day. We make the Kisei HaKavod, I think that's already about already taken. But there are other great places to get to if you pull this off, this idea, this concept. Rachel right now had two things in front of her. One path was my sister gets humiliated and embarrassed, or one path that she doesn't. Now it is true, by giving her my husband, that means that I should be, by all natural, normal results, I should get the monster. Okay? What am I going to do? This cannot happen. I cannot stand by and watch this. What happens next? Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. I'm not going to hedge, though, because I'm worried about the next step. I have to put my full confidence in Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, people sometimes can't do that because we don't believe in Hashem enough to say Hashem, perform a miracle on my behalf. But a person who says, listen, this right now cannot go down on my watch. What's going to happen afterwards? I have no idea. Before I get to the question. Your friend invites you. He wants you to go with someone somewhere tonight or some other time. And you believe in your heart of hearts, this is not the right thing for me right now. But what's going to happen next? Is my friends going to stop inviting me? Are they going to make fun of me? Okay, I don't know what's going to happen next. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You have right now two paths. You know how much easier your life would be if you had just a decision at a time to make? One decision at a time. We're not prophets. Who knows what's going to happen next? But right now, there's two options, and this is the better option than that one. Where life takes me afterwards, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. But I need to make the right move. So for Rachel, it wasn't so hard. It wasn't a hard decision to make. I mean, it was hard. But the fact that what happens next, that's not something she factored in. I mean, she knew it had to be a possibility. And Amy Rottenberg wrote about it and Shrek sang it. So it's got to be true. Her dreams were shattered. But her sister's shame trumped that. Because at the end of the day, of the two options right now in front of her, where each one takes, I don't know, but this one cannot happen. It can't be my decision to make. It can't be. I'll say even more than that. Russell's level of tznius was so strong in that moment. She did this mitzvah and she did the chesed in the way you can't even imagine. Because even Leah didn't know what she just did for her. You know how we know that? Because the pasuk says in this week's parsha, later on, when Reuven comes back from the field with his dudaim, this flower, this mandrake flower, whatever that means. And he says to his mom, hey mom, here's a flower I just picked. And Rachel says, I want that flower. According to Chazal, maybe it had a fertility component to it, and she hadn't had kids yet, she wanted to have kids. I want that flower. What does Leah say back to Rachel? First, you took my husband, and now you take my kid's flower? Is there no end? Are you kidding me? You took my husband? Did she forget that Rachel sacrificed and gave her husband? What do you mean, took my husband? You took Rachel's husband. So Chazal say, I saw a pshat right after where I saw it. I think it was in Marsha and Megillah, if I recall correctly. But I don't remember for sure. Is that Leah didn't even know that Rachel gave her signs. Rachel said to Leah, you know what people do when they get married? And he said, you know, they mention the candles, they mention this thing. It's like they're part of the ritual of brides. So she did it. Like every bride does. And she never knew that Rachel even gave it to her. That's the level of a chesed. You don't take any... And even when Leah said, he's with my husband, even then Rachel, bitter Rachel. She's bitter. She had no kids. She didn't say, you know what? The charade is over. Let me tell you what actually went down those years ago. Didn't say it. She swallowed it. As far as we're concerned, to the grave she swallowed. No one knew about it. Except for Yaakov. And to Yaakov's credit, when he woke up the next morning, and it was Leah, he didn't say anything to Leah about it. He never said anything about it. Like, what are you doing here? He said to Lavan, what is she doing here? But Leah never knew. She was completely protected by both Yaakov and by Rachel. Why? Because imagine, Yaakov that moment in time wakes up and sees this stranger by his feet. So he has two choices right now for him. Do I react and I say to her, what are you doing here? But that would be a terribly embarrassing thing to do. So I have to not do that. You know how hard it must have been for him to not do that? For Rachel to give over the signs, knowing she might marry the monster? For Rachel years later to be told, to be accused by Leah of having stolen her own husband? And yet each time the Av or the Aim or Avos Imos, they acted with complete class. Because the truth is that they had one decision to make right now, is that moment in time. What should I do at that moment in time? Life is so much easier when that's your shikul. Problem is that we always fast forward. If I do that, then what's that guy going to say about me? If I go there, what's going to happen in my next X-Men? I don't know. I'm not a prophet. Neither are you. But I believe one thing very seriously. If you do the right thing right now, and you say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I believe in you. I believe. I'll give you an example. I'll end with this point. I have a neighbor of mine who, unfortunately, his father, I mentioned, I think, before, is very, very sick. I was very sick, and he's on his deathbed. He says to me, like, what am I supposed to do now? Am I supposed to daven? Am I supposed to say daven? That Kadosh Baruch Hu save his life? And that, the doctor said it's over. He's on a ventilator. He can't breathe on his own right now. He's old. He's sick. What, I should tell him, daven, that Kadosh Baruch Hu make everything better? Do I know that? I don't know that. I said, why don't you daven Hashem? Just throw it to him his way. And you say to Hashem, I have no idea what's best. I don't know. If it's best for him to die with peace, then this should go towards that end. And I know you can make him alive if you want to. You control the world. If that's best for him, then I give that to you also. And my tilma should go towards him being a refuah shleima. I believe in you. The doctor says, no, I don't care what the doctor says. I don't know what to do. So I'm throwing a tilma your way, and I have equal kavana. You're called to make. I don't know what you want with it, but here's my tilma towards you. It's not so hard to make a decision about two things in front of you. It's not hard. What's hard is that we usually fast forward that step and say, well, if I do that, what's going to happen next? I believe with all my heart, and we see from Rachel, that if you invest and say, because Baruch Hu, this is right, I'm doing it, and I'll leave the rest of it to you. Because Baruch Hu is going to get you to the next place you're supposed to get to afterwards. You will get to the right place that's supposed to come afterwards. But you have to decide that I am doing the right thing. You have to be a Rachel when his sister's getting dressed for the wedding. You have to be a Rachel when his sister accuses him to take her husband. To be a Yaakov when he's confronted with Leah by his bedside. And say, oh my gosh, what should I do right now? Right now, what should I do? And if you pass that test and you go on a path where the next thing comes your way, it's not an opportunity. And Hashem is the one who's dictating that path. And as much as you think you know what's best for you, Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, does much better what's best for us. We should be zocha to have clarity in our lives, clarity in our decision-making process. Hashem should help us always do the right thing. Have a great Shabbos.